Listen, I know that there are people listening to this show today that are going through the same struggles. And I hope you hear what I went through and avoid some of the pitfalls I did, because it's okay to tell people you're hurting. It's okay to tell people, hey, I'm struggling. Because I was, and I didn't think I could talk to anybody.
Hey there. Welcome to the God's Goodness Podcast. We are your hosts, Josh and Shelley Hankins, and we're here to share real stories of God's power, stories of hope, healing, and miracles that will strengthen your faith. No matter what you're walking through, we want to remind you that God is good and He's still moving today. Let's dive in. Today we have an incredible guest, Michael Price, who was actually referred to us by our friend and past guest, author and speaker, Ben Hinton. Ben said, you have to have Michael on. His testimony of God's goodness is going to bless so many people. And after hearing just a glimpse of his story, I completely agree. So Michael has walked through battles that would have taken most people out. Depression, a suicide attempt, total blindness in one eye, back-to-back heart attacks, and now multiple sclerosis. And yet here he is, thriving, leading, and proclaiming the goodness of God. Today, he's a leader in the business world, an ordained minister, and the market president for C-Suite for Christ Charlotte, where he's working to bring Christ into the marketplace. Michael, welcome to the podcast. We are so glad to have you here.
I am so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Now, before we dive into your testimony, I'd love for our listeners to get to know you a little. So tell us about your world today, like your family, your work, your ministry. Like, what does life look like to you right now, just briefly?
Yeah, absolutely. So first, I love the Lord first and foremost. He is my number one relationship, and everything else comes after Him. But as far as my life today, married to my beautiful wife, Elise, for almost 26 years, coming up here in May. I have two adult children. Both of them have families. Both of them are servants. One's in law enforcement, one's in nursing. So they love serving in their communities. And they both have given me grandchildren, which I perfectly spoil as much as I possibly can.
As well you should.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a retired healthcare executive, recently retired. I still do some consulting in the healthcare industry. And as Shelley just mentioned, I am the newly appointed market president for C-Suite for Christ Charlotte. You know, where we are striving to cover the world in Christ through the workplace, which most people say, leave Jesus at the door, work, and then pick Him back up when you leave. And we are countering that.
Taking Him everywhere.
Yes, absolutely. And then my other passion, really, and just what we're getting ready to talk about, I have a passion for helping leaders and others out in the workplace deal with burnout and deal with how to overcome some of that. So there's a lot of things in flight, a book, some speaking, and some other things going on. And maybe we'll dive into some of that now. But at a high level, that's what's going on in my life right now.
That's awesome. Now, God has shown up for you in some incredible ways over the years. But let's go back. Before the battles, before the miracles, when do you first remember experiencing God's goodness in your life? Like, was there a moment as a child, a young adult, or even later where you first knew, like, God is real and He's with me?
Yeah, I would say, and that's a great question, I would say my granddaddy. So my dad's dad, I never knew him, but he had a grandfather, my great-granddaddy, and the man was a tremendous man of the Lord. He loved the Lord more than anything in the world. And you could feel that love when you walked into the room with him. Everyone in the neighborhood knew him. He stopped and spoke to everyone. I mean, he actually wrote his own sermon for his funeral and had it preached to him exactly a year before he passed away. I mean, he wanted to understand what people were going to say about his legacy, and he wanted to make sure it was geared towards his love for Christ. I mean, so that was the first time I saw the Lord. I knew He was real because I saw Him in my granddaddy. And then that led me to 1992 when I was 18 years old, whenever I was saved. And when I first met Jesus as my personal Savior, I was in 1992.
How hard was that for you? Because I come from, I'm a first generation Christian, and I didn't find Jesus, even though He was knocking on my door, for 30 years. So was it an easier transition with the background you had, or was it harder because you felt the need that you had to expect a certain kind of behavior?
So as at a young age, we moved away from, I'm originally from North Carolina. We moved away to Florida, where I spent most of my life. And so I moved away from all of my family. We found a church down there, and my dad, I come from a loving home, but he wasn't a Christian until we moved to Florida. And I would say when I actually met Jesus on the night, on a summer night in Windermere, Florida, it was easy for me because the Spirit was moving. We had a missionary that was preaching as a guest preacher that night. So when he got done, I was amazed because I didn't know that there was anybody else in that church building, even though it was full, because the Holy Spirit was speaking directly to me. So the actual conversion, me meeting Jesus, it was easy. Now getting there, yeah, I fought a lot because I thought I was a good person. And you'll hear as I go through my story, I've never been one to ask for help. I'm a different person now, but most of my life, I felt that I had what I needed. I didn't need to ask for help. But yeah, the actual conversion was very easy for me because when the Holy Spirit starts moving, you get that tingling, that burning, your heart starts racing. I mean, you move. And anyone that doesn't, I don't know how they wouldn't.
I love that you have a specific date that you remember. Like some addicts remember the last day they used. And some people had a more gradual coming to Jesus, getting to know him, and then they don't have a date. So I think that's cool. I like that.
I like that. Yeah.
So
Thank
one
you.
of the hardest battles you've walked through was depression and even a suicide attempt, right? So can you take us back to that season? Like what was happening in your life and what led you to that breaking point?
Well, you're looking from the outside in, you'll say, my goodness, I can't believe, that even happened. I had recently built my house. I had a great job, had friends, a loving family, but inside I was dying. My self-esteem was extremely low at that time, 27 years ago. I didn't feel like there was a future for me. I didn't have goals, and when you lose hope, it only takes a split second for our enemy to say, I got something for you. And when you take it, it can literally destroy your life. I've never been one to ask for help. And for those that are out listening today, I know that there are people listening to this show today that are going through the same struggles. And I hope you hear what I went through and avoid some of the pitfalls I did, because it's okay to tell people you're hurting. It's okay to tell people, hey, I'm struggling. Because I was, and I didn't think I could talk to anybody. But I can still remember, I vividly remember in my house, in my bedroom, going through the actual act of trying to end my life. I remember it 100%.
Now, was that before 92, before Jesus?
No, it was 98.
Okay,
So
got it.
it was 1998. It
Okay.
was actually February of 98. You'll hear, you like dates. I love dates. You'll hear as I talk about everything, I'll usually give a specific date. But yeah, it was after. And like I said, I came to that crossroad, and there's only two ways you can go. You can either continue down the path that the Lord wants you to go, or like I said, when you're at that point where you believe there's no hope, the enemy presents you something, and I tried to grab it. And the Lord had completely different plans for me, as we'll talk about going forward. He launched me into a journey almost immediately, almost immediately.
So in that moment, when you felt at your lowest, do you remember how God showed up? Was it instant, or was there a process of healing?
He showed up immediately. So, and bear with me.
It's clearly still difficult.
It is. It's difficult, because it takes me back into a time where, like I said, you lose hope. I mean, and it is a dark, desperate place to be. And I was only there for a split second. But I was in my home, went through with the act, and miraculously, my parents showed up at my house. And let me tell you this: it took me 27 years. This only happened a few weeks ago, before I asked my dad why they were at my house.
And what was the random reason, I'm sure?
He said that your mother said we need to go, and I said no.
Huh.
So they came.
Mother's intuition. Holy
Wow. Yep.
Spirit. Holy
So if
cow.
you don't mind me asking, what did you do for your attempt?
Pills.
Pills?
It was pills, yeah. It was a chore to take the first one, but the rest of them, I can't tell you. It was in the 20s of the number of pills I took. And not only did my parents show up, they showed up and called their best friend who was a pharmacist and told them what to do.
Wow.
Incredible.
Wow, divine friendships.
So you ask how God showed up, he showed up immediately.
Wow.
Well, one would argue if your mom was having a conversation with your dad about visiting you, you hadn't even done the act yet because they didn't live across the street, did they?
Correct. No, they did not.
So they had to take time to come over, which is the time that you were doing, right? They had to have the thought before you even did it.
Yeah, and convincing your dad.
Only God could have known that. Only God could have known that.
All the red lights, the stop signs, all the stuff, the exact moment. Wow.
Yep.
Wow. So you could say that's the Lord miraculously saving you. So,
oh yeah.
Was there something specific, like an encounter, a person, a moment that shifted everything? Like, so what happened after that? Like, what's that looking like? Did you go to the hospital or like?
Yeah, went to the hospital. So I don't remember my parents showing up. I remember being in their back seat on my way to the ER. And went to the ER, spent a few days in the hospital. And like I said, we had an extremely loving church, and just went through a process of healing. You know, the Lord showed up and showed up big as he always does, and took me through a process of healing. I had friends that that I wouldn't ask for help come and ask me why I wouldn't. You know, still to this day, I can't answer why I wouldn't ask for help. You know, our enemy has a way of trying to shame you into things to say, you know, there's specific things even in our society today you shouldn't talk about. Suicide's one of them. It's taken me 27 years, and now I'm sharing it publicly because this is, you know, the Lord takes us through things in our lives, not necessarily to teach us something, but to help other people as well.
100%.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned how isolated you were and alone, because that is the exact tactic that the enemy uses, is to isolate. Oh. It's like a lion seeking to whom he's going to consume, right? And so he doesn't go after the middle of the herd. He isolates the weak ones on the edges, the ones that have already been wore down, because that's the ones he can get. I had a revelation on a fast. After I had a fast, my wife decided to do one, and she did hers 10 times less of the length that I did mine. I was flabbergasted by it. And then the Lord revealed to me that a married couple is 10 times or exponentially more powerful than a single person. And that's why the devil tries to attack marriage so much. Because he needs to isolate you, because he has no chance against you when you're strong. He has no chance against you when you're in the herd. He has no chance against you when you have all your brothers and sisters in Christ at your back. But if he can get you isolated, he has every chance. You know, it's just another one of those examples that proves it, that he needs to have you isolated because he is powerless against us, right? He can only do what God allows him to do. And if we don't reach out, then he has a little bit more authority to hurt us.
Yeah, that stronghold. Just a little
foothold. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, it goes back to the story of Job, you know, because the Lord knew. The Lord said, here, go test them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same way with us. When you get to that point in your life, when you give everything to Jesus, everything to Christ, I mean, your first fruits of your time, every morning you get up, you're reading, you know, your finances, you know, the first fruits of those finances, you know, everything you do in life goes to him first. You're right. I mean, the Satan, he hates that.
Oh,
He no longer has a stronghold on your life.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Wow. So fast forward to years later, you experienced something completely unexpected, a blood clot that left you completely blind in one eye. So what was your first reaction? Was it like fear, faith, like something in between?
It was fear. Let me tell you why. Because I literally woke up at 4:30 in the morning in 2016, and I was experiencing the loss. I was actually seeing the vision being lost in my right eye, because it was like a lightning storm. And I went into the bathroom, and I looked in the mirror, and with both eyes, and I could see, but I closed my left eye, and it was black, completely dark. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I would love to say that, yeah, I mean, I said, oh, okay, Lord, what are you doing now? No, it was panic and it was fear. I thought I was having a stroke, and I just lost vision in my right eye. So my wife got up, we ran to the ER. We're in Tampa at the time now, and ran to the ER. And I'm sitting in the ER with a very compassionate ER physician, very compassionate. I mean, he's come into tears because they can't do anything. You know, an ER doctor, and I come from the ER. I come from healthcare. So the ER doctor wants to help people and he can't do anything for me. So he calls the retinal specialist that's on call. And that doctor tells him, have him come to my office at 8 o'clock. We're like 4 o'clock in the morning. He says, have him come to my office at 8. And he said, are you kidding me? What am I going to do for him right now? And he said, there's nothing we can do for him right now. Mm. Nothing. The vision's lost. I can't help him. So when he told me that, it was a wow moment. It was, okay, now what am I going to, I have no sight in my right eye. What am I going to do?
Yeah. So did you like sit there and pray for a few hours or like what was going through your mind?
We did. We went home. We left the ER and went home. So, you know, it's 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. We got a couple hours. So yeah, we went home and we prayed and we ended up going to the doctor and he told us, he said, there's no hope of your vision returning. It's the damage is done. There's nothing I can do. The blood clot shut the blood flow off to your eye and it killed those veins.
So it was a blood clot.
Well, it was a blood clot, yes.
And so it deprived your oxygen to your eye, which is obviously how organs fail, is without oxygen.
Correct.
And he told you to wait till 8 o'clock the next morning, regardless.
Correct. So, you know, they go through, they run all these tests. About 2 weeks later, you know, I started wearing an eye patch, no eye patch. You know, do I close my eye? Not, you know, now I'm thinking people are looking at me like I'm blind in one eye, but of course nobody can see that. And about 2 weeks later, the darkness goes from a darkness to a gray, just imagine a gray cloud sitting right in front of your eyeball. Hmm. You can see around the edges to the right and the left, but you can't see straight ahead. It's just a gray cloud. And I think of the cloud by night, you know, when the Lord was leading the Israelites, that's the exact thought that came to my head that, okay, Lord, there's a cloud in front of my eye. What are we going to do with the cloud? And Psalm 46:10. So this is where one of my life verses came into play, Psalm 46:10, where the Lord says, be still and know that I am God. He wants us to stop. He wants us to be still and know who he is. And a few years later, he gave me Exodus verse 13. So Exodus 14, verse 13, where the Israelites are standing at the Red Sea. The Egyptians and their 600 chariots are barreling down on them. And they look at Moses and say, why did you bring us out here? And the Lord told Moses to tell them, stand still and watch what I'm going to do. I just ad-libbed there, but stand still. I don't need anything from you. Just stop and look at what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing he told me in that moment. Just be still. So I was still. And over the next month, he slowly removed the cloud and about half of my vision came back. And today I can tell you, when I have glasses, I can't tell. The only time I can tell there's something wrong with my eyes is if I close my left eye. Mm-hmm. It's the only time I can tell. And the eye doctor that I have today here in North Carolina says, I can't tell that anything ever happened in your eye because it looks like a healthy eye.
Wow. I mean, that is truly incredible, because I'm in the healthcare field too. I'm an EMT. And, you know, when people have strokes and we get them to the stroke center and they give them medication to help, anticoagulants and such, you know, they can usually reverse a lot of the symptoms depending on what it is, if it's 4 hours and you're going till the next morning, right? By all rights, you should be blind in that eye forever.
Yes.
So there's clearly a miracle involved in this, because that is not normal.
Now I have a question. When I had a blood clot in my leg, it like my legs got swollen over a few days. Was there like anything leading up to that morning? Like any symptoms?
No.
Wow.
There was nothing. You know, like I said, I woke up at 4:30 in the morning and there was a lightning storm in my right eye.
Wow. That's nuts. That happened so quickly. But then it just proves that sometimes healing isn't instantaneous.
Right. So looking back, what do you think God was showing you through that experience?
He wanted me to stop and trust him. Again, sometimes he puts us through things to help other people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he puts us through things because he's molding us and he's preparing us. You know, we'll get to where I'm at today. But I truly believe that 27 years ago, what he put me through, in 2016, what he put me through, what we're getting ready to talk about, is led me to where I'm at today. Because if I would have never stopped for a moment for him to give me that verse, for him to be able to tell me, listen, I have this. Just trust me.
Mm-hmm. That verse was my verse. Psalm 46:10, be still and know. When we were going through 27 months of unemployment, or, you know, no income. And when the money runs out, when the unemployment runs out, and there's only God, and he shows up in incredible ways, it's just that that anchor verse is something so powerful to get you through, you know?
It's amazing.
I love it.
It's almost like God knows what he's doing.
Right.
Yes. It's almost like he's the author and protector of our lives. And it's just, it's so bizarre.
Almost as if he created us. Yes.
Hey there, listeners. A while back, I had a brutal four-day headache while my body was fighting something. My podcast coach, Jenilee Samuel from Java with Jen, commented on my post saying she wished she could slap some of these patches on me. I asked, what are you talking about? She sent me a podcast episode about LifeWave's X39 patches, and I had to check it out. These non-transdermal phototherapy patches are light-based technology to support wellness and energy. No drugs, no chemicals, just light. What's wild is that Kim Clement prophesied about future medical breakthroughs using light. Since trying X39, I've noticed real changes in how I feel, and the testimonials from others are amazing. Want to learn more? Check out the LifeWave info link in my About section. Of course, these patches aren't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, but the stories speak for themselves. Now back to the show. So then, not long after that, you walk through back-to-back heart attacks. So what happened in those moments? Like, do you know right away? Like, did you know what was happening? Like, what would did that look like?
Yeah, so 21 and 22, those were challenging years. So to answer your question, the first one I did not know. The first one, my wife and I, it was a Saturday. We were out, and we were, you know, running errands. You know, I traveled a lot at the time, and I was always out of town, and we were spending the day together. And I just, you know, here, the difference between the I and here is I knew that something was going on. I just was choosing not to listen to my body at the time. You know, and we were out at a big box store, and I can remember she was picking up some glasses. I had to walk away to the little boy's room, and I couldn't make it. It took me probably double the triple the time to make it there. And then on the way back, you know, I stopped several times because the pressure on my chest was so bad. I'm a stubborn, you know, man, and I didn't want to say anything to my wife. So I told her, I said, listen, I'm not feeling that well, but I think I need to eat. We haven't eaten all day, so let's go have dinner. So we went and had dinner. And after that, we left. We're headed home, about 45-minute drive home. And I said, she knew something was wrong. She already knew. I mean, and I said, yes, we have to go to the hospital because the pain was so bad that I was having a hard time breathing, and I couldn't function anymore. I couldn't even talk.
So, that's about the time I get the call for the ambulance too. Not while they're experiencing the tightness, but when it's unbearable and they have the shortness of breath. And you mentioned
yes. So we get to the hospital they came in and said, yes, you were right in the middle of having a heart attack. And Joshua, you know, it wasn't a STEMI, it was a non-STEMI.
Okay.
But my troponins were highly elevated. So this was on a Saturday. Here's where I was still at the time. This is 4 years ago, you know, so I have the heart attack on Saturday. They placed my stents on Sunday. On Monday, I'm back at work. I'm still at the hospital, but I'm joining calls because I've learned nothing about what the Lord wants me to do and to be still. So,
with stitches in your chest and everything, sitting in the hospital.
Well, I had a cast. So I had a cast.
Okay. That's easier.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I use it as a way to tell people what not to do these days. So the second heart attack was a little different. It was on Labor Day in 2022. I knew exactly what was happening, but we're a stubborn race. And we had a party at the house. Family was over. You know, I just ended up sitting on the couch, couldn't eat, couldn't move. And then that night, to your point, Josh, I waited to call the ambulance. This time I had to go by ambulance because I couldn't.
By the way. We love it when it's daylight and we're awake and you don't call us and you wait till 2 a.m. We absolutely love that.
Well, I only waited until 12:30, so at midnight. So after midnight, so it was at 2 a.m. And yeah, I went back to the hospital again, another heart attack, non-STEMI, I don't know if I'm saying that is a positive thing or not, but place more stents. This time, I had a phenomenal, and I still do have a phenomenal cardiologist, great Christian guy. I'll go see him at the office. We'll talk about my health, and then we'll pull the Bible out. We'll talk about the Lord. And he told me, minimum 6 weeks, you're not going back. And remember, I'm a healthcare executive at the time, and I'm like, okay, Lord, they're not going to wait 6 weeks for me to come back. But I tell you what, I had a group of leaders, not all of them Christians, a group of leaders that said, you just take the time that you need, and we got this. And that's when the Lord showed up again, because they said, don't work. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to hear from you. Just go and get better. Mm-hmm. And it took about 6 weeks. And, you know, the Lord showed up in all that 6 weeks. You know, Elise and I spent a lot of time together, you know, really got closer with my relationship with the Lord. You know, I'm here in Charlotte. So that's the year that during that 6 weeks, we went to the Billy Graham Library. And the Lord spoke to me there and said, okay, it's time. A change is coming, and I'm going to want you in the ministry full time. You know, so I learned really what Psalm 46:10 was. So I was still for those 6 weeks and just listened. Because so many times we like to pray, and we never like to listen to what the Lord's going to say. And you can't, you remember, in John 10, Jesus calls us friend. You can't have a friendship if you never listen and all you do is talk.
Mm-hmm. And I would also elaborate and say, it's hard to hear the voice of God when you've already made up your mind of what he's going to say.
Oh, man. I like that. You are absolutely correct.
So this all must have been terrifying, like all these heart attacks. Did you ever wrestle with, like, why God? Why? And were you able to trust him even in the unknown?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, of course I wrestled. And of course he won. And, but yeah, I mean, obviously I wrestled, but you know, I talked about, you know, earlier I mentioned that journey, you know, since 1998, he'd had me on a journey, and yes, ups and downs and ebbs and flows to my life, but through it, he never changed. He was always consistent. He was always leading me down the path that he knew that I needed to be on and was going to go on. It's us that changes. So yes, questioned, absolutely. But I mean, today we only eat whole foods. We exercise on a daily basis. It's on our schedule. We do different types of natural remedies, and like, you know, cryotherapy and compression therapy, you know, different things to really care for our body. Because the word says that we are a temple for the Holy Spirit. And I never treated my body that way until now. You know, since 2016, I struck. I've lost 60. Well, now it's up to 70 or 80 pounds. Lost another 20 pounds this year already.
That's awesome.
And well, thank you. And just feel tremendous. And then when you do that, then the Lord can use you. You know, if you're not caring for your body, he may want to use you, but he's like, you can't handle what I'm going to give you. Mm-hmm. So we have to make sure we're ready physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally to do the work that he calls us to do.
Do you feel the second heart attack was an attempt at God to humble you, because you thought you got the lesson from the first one with God saving your life, right? That you stood in a place of arrogance, and he's like, no, no, no.
I will say yes to that, and here's why. When my cardiologist came into the room on the second heart attack, he walked in and said, I apologize. He said, there were zero signs and symptoms of you having a second heart attack 1 year after your first one. He said, I never saw it. There's nothing that we saw when we did place the stents last year that would even lead us to believe you would have a heart attack a year later. Mm. So, incredible. So yes.
Incredible. I love the way God works, even though it's scary sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, it's scary oftentimes.
I don't recommend laying in the cath lab ever. It's not the best place to go.
No. And you mentioned, you know, our bodies are a temple for the Spirit. And as, you know, a first generation Christian from many generations, you know, the first time I heard that, I'm thinking like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. I'm thinking like there's evil spirits, there's booby traps. And you know, I don't know what a good, clean temple looks like in my mind's eye. And so I always hated that. I always hated hearing your body's a temple. I'm like, wow, this is a pitfall.
That's true. That's true. And it simply means we're to care for it.
Right. Yeah.
So you faced so many physical battles, and then you were diagnosed with of all things, multiple sclerosis. How has that latest challenge shaped your relationship with God?
Drawn me even closer. So what I skipped over was in 2012, I was originally diagnosed with MS. Mm. And then they came back after a test they performed and said, yeah, we were wrong. You don't have MS. So we fast forward 12 years to 2024, last year in January. And they did an MRI and said, yeah, they said, you know, MS causes white spots on your brain, which causes the issues that it does.
Mm-hmm. Lesions on your brain.
Yeah, the lesions. And they said, yeah, you know, I had 3 or 4 back in 12. Now I've got 12 to 15. And well, they initially thought I had Parkinson's, and then we corrected that. But I was on Parkinson's med for 6 months last year until I got to a phenomenal physician here at the MS Institute here in Charlotte, and was diagnosed with MS, went on the treatments. I get infusions to treat my MS. But I will tell you, I am so blessed. There are so many people that struggle with MS and struggle badly physically with it.
Yeah, they had a friend that she would have to be carried into church and laid down on a pew in the back just so she could show up, and she'd be laying on there looking up at the ceiling.
Yeah.
And so the interesting thing is God healed this woman, but the brain scan still showed lesions.
Wow.
That is cool, is that he just bypassed them. He just said, here you go.
Mm-hmm. This is so amazing.
There is hope. So there is hope for you. I just want to let you know that God is not done with you, that he is willing to heal you 100%.
And any time he wants to, you know, if you see me walking into the store, in the church, into my home, you won't think that anything's wrong with me. You know, I the occasional stumble, you know, sometimes, you know, my recall is not the best in my memory, but you know, God is so good. He has blessed us tremendously. And I want to tell this because it's pretty powerful. So last, you mentioned I'm a pastor, I was an executive pastor here at a local church in the area. For various different reasons, we had to leave the church and move to a really good church we're at right now. But I had to leave the church, and at the same time, I was leaving my career, you know, that I thought that I had done so much to get to. So here I am in November, and my career is leaving, and my church is gone. And I said, okay, Lord, what's next? Okay, I said, I don't understand, but where are we going? And you fast forward to today, and it's the story of Job. I didn't have the devastation that Job had, but the Lord pulled things from me and has given it back tenfold. Tenfold he has given it back to me and blessed every single area of my life. Every single area. So I no longer question the Lord, what he's doing, why something's happening. It's okay, let's deal with it. And Lord, you got this.
What a very Abraham answer. I don't know what this looks like, Lord, but let's go. You're calling me. This is scary, unknown territory. I don't care. You're with me. Let's do this.
Yep. Yep. I mean, it's all his anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
Then I think we wanted to lead into where I'm at today. So today, like I said, the Lord has, and I was talking to my wife about this the other day. I wake up each morning and say, wow, because I'm on your podcast right now talking about something that happened 27 years ago that I've never talked about publicly. There's only a handful of people in my life that know what I went through back then.
It's out there now.
Yeah, it's out there now. So it's just not
countries.
It's only around the world, so it's no big deal.
Just your friends.
But you know, I had this career that allowed me to build in healthcare, and I mean, he blessed me tremendously. And I said, okay, you know, it's gone now. You know, I said I'm still consulting, but now he's moved me. He allowed me to meet the leaders of C-Suite for Christ. And we just started having some conversations. And last year we had a huge worship night. They called it Charlotte Crusade because a group of people came from another country. And they said, we came to Charlotte because this is where Billy Graham's home was. And we remember watching on TV the crusade that Billy Graham had here, his last crusade in Charlotte years ago. And we want to do that again. So they went and they rented an arena, the arena here locally. They put 10,000 people in it, and there were still thousands of people standing outside wanting to get in.
Wow.
And they had this worship night where they just worshiped the Lord. And I said, that is so awesome. And I said, now what are we going to do? You know, there's a lot of Christian conferences out there, and we have the conferences, but then what are we going to do? Because people are on fire while they're there. So what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. So I met the people at C-Suite for Christ, and their mission is covering the world in Christ. Our mantra is to fulfill the Great Commission through the workplace. You know, we're not going to leave Jesus at the door. We're going to bring him into the workplace. What mm-hmm. a novel idea.
Mm-hmm.
So we just launched last Sunday, and I mean, the calls, the emails, the social media posts, the 15,000 people that have viewed our post on LinkedIn, the phone calls, the people wanting to be a part of this is overwhelming. It is amazing. Wow. And we're just getting started.
That's awesome.
We're just getting started.
Yeah, I never heard of it before you and Ben. So,
yep.
And now it's on the podcast.
I got to give Ben props here, because Ben, even though Ben lives in Pennsylvania, he's going to help the Charlotte market. So we're working together on this, along with a team that we pulled together. And like I said, you're going to be hearing about C-Suite for Charlotte as we go forward. The Lord is just doing amazing things here.
I believe it.
That's awesome.
It's incredible, because I think a lot of Christians have a hard time bringing their faith to work for fear of reprisal, retribution, mm-hmm. Persecution.
Write-ups.
And it's funny to me, not funny, ha-ha, funny, peculiar, that we would be afraid, that we were not given a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of boldness. And that, like, at where I work, I don't bring him in the door verbally, but I bring him in the door through my every action, by every interaction with a patient, by every interaction with my coworkers. And if they bring him up in any capacity, that's an open door for me to either elaborate or set the record straight. And I take those opportunities every chance I get. If I have a patient in the back and they just mentioned Jesus one time, well, we're praying. It's you know, you open that door for me, and I will come in, and I will sit on your fancy furniture, and we will talk and pray and have a good time. There's many patients I have that are repeat patients that I literally, they look forward to having me in the back of the ambulance, and we talk about Jesus the whole ride up.
Oh, that is awesome. That is so awesome. Mm. I love it.
I'm blessed that I can speak about Jesus freely at work. And some of them helped me start the podcast. And yeah, that's great. So,
that's amazing.
Thank you. Now, for someone listening right now who is facing a battle, whether it's depression, illness, or a crisis of faith, what would you say to them?
Well, first I would say is you're never alone. You know, I just talked about I was in a lonely place. I couldn't reach out to anyone, or I thought I couldn't. You're never alone. The Lord is always, always there with you. But you have to take that first step. You have to trust him. You have to allow him to come into your life. And when you do, I guarantee you, 100% guarantee, he will change your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the first step. The second step is don't learn from me, okay? I've been through the depression, been through the suicide attempts, been through all the health issues that you could ever imagine, now diagnosed with an incurable, debilitating disease. So there's no excuses. I have my accountability partners. I have my friends that I will reach out to. My wife is my rock here on earth.
Mm.
My earthly rock is my wife. The Lord gave her an extra special dose of strength when he created her.
Because he had to. He was going to pair you too.
Yes, that is correct. but ask for help, okay? And that's different for everybody. For some people, it is professional. For some people, it's your pastor. For some people, it's a family member or a friend. And listen, let me say this to those that are listening right now. If you don't think you have someone, reach out to me. I'll be your ringman. I'll just listen. Because a lot of times, that's all it takes is someone to listen,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Absolutely.
I guarantee that God will put in your path somebody who went through something you're going through, and their experience will help you get through it as well.
Yes.
It could be a random stranger at a Kogo's handing mm-hmm. you a milk out of the fridge when you ask for it. Like it'll come in the mm-hmm. most unexpected places. It could be a human. It could be an angel in disguise. Mm-hmm. You have no way of knowing, but you do have a way of trusting.
Yeah, he will show up.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful.
He always shows up.
So if you could go back and tell your younger self at the lowest point one thing, what would it be?
Just trust. Trust, because I told you when I tried to commit suicide, I was a believer, but I didn't trust in the Lord. I mean, and it's such an easy word to say, but it's very powerful. You have to, rely, get out of the way. Just get yourself out of the way, because we cause problems when we get in the way for ourselves. When we don't listen to our bodies, when we try to take the wheel instead of allowing the Lord to steer, we cause problems for ourselves. So trust and just move out of the way and watch what He does in your life. It's amazing.
Do you think that our natural relationships with people really hinder our trust with God? Because people can be very untrustworthy. They won't guard our heart like God would. They won't protect our feelings like God would. And you had gone over 18 years and you give your life to Christ in Florida, then you wait a few longer and you're having this issue, this depression issue. If you could go back and tell your younger self to trust, would you? Right? Because we're shaped by our interactions with people.
No, that's a good question, a good point, because we put our faith in people instead of our faith in the Lord, and that's the problem. You see it all day long. I mean, just I try not to watch the news, but watch the news, watch media. Their trust is in those news anchors. Their trust is in those politicians. Take the focus off of them and put it where it belongs, on Jesus.
Amen.
So.
So good. So before we wrap up, where can people connect with you and the work that you're doing, Michael?
So I'm on LinkedIn. I'm always on LinkedIn. So if you chat me on LinkedIn, I promise you I'm going to be one of the ones that responds back. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I do have a website. It's still under construction, but you can go to the website. You can contact me through there. It's michaeljprice.com. So pretty simple, michaeljprice.com. And reach out, send me a note. And like I said, I respond, and I'm here to help in any way that I can. For those that are struggling, I would be happy to listen or happy to give any input that you would want, or I'd be extremely happy just to pray with you, because prayer is the most powerful tool we have in our belt.
Oh, yes, amen. So, would you be willing to pray over our listeners, especially those
Oh.
struggling with depression, illness, or feeling that they've lost their purpose?
Yes, 100%. So let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are humbled that you allow us to come before your throne with our burdens, our concerns, our requests. And Lord, we've talked about some tough issues today. And I know that there are some people listening today that are struggling with all kinds of battles. And I want to reassure them that if they will reach out to you and put their trust in you, that you will answer every time, according to your will and your timing. But Lord, you always answer, and you will give them the strength, Lord, to get through these battles. Your word says that we can do all things through your strength. So Lord, I just encourage each person to trust in you, to seek you out, to trust you enough to invite you into their hearts, Lord, to live their life, Lord, according to your will, as Lord of their lives. And they need not be unashamed. And unapologetically, Lord, I pray that they would go boldly out into this world, Lord. Lord, and lead the lives that you are calling us to lead. And we pray and ask and we receive these things in the mighty and majestic name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for being with us, Michael. We appreciate your story and God using it to help others through things they're going with as well.
I can't wait till the
Yeah.
end when your testimony is really going to be hammering the enemy.
Oh, yes. It's been my honor to be here, and thank you very much for having me.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Listen, let's stay connected. Come follow us on all the socials at God's Goodness Podcast, where you can find the latest and say hey. It's a really great way to stay in touch. Many of you have asked how you can support the show. You can make donations through any of the links in the About section, or of course by praying for us, as well as sharing, rating, and reviewing on social media and iTunes. Your heartfelt feedback always reminds us why we do this. Until next time, remember, God is always working, miracles are real, and your breakthrough could be just around the corner. Keep believing, keep expecting, and don't forget to share this with someone who needs hope today. We'll talk to you next week.